1 Corinthians chapter 4. I wasn't necessarily raised in a Christian household, but I will tell you it's good to live a good testimony. And whether you know it or not, you do influence people in your life. And so if some of you have friends or family that may be lost, I will tell you, just be the real thing. And people are looking for people that live the life truly. And you never know who you may be coming in contact with in your life that the Lord has put you there to be an influence. And so I had a part in the testimony of my mom, and praise the Lord for that. All right. And so I came out of a world. Oh, I didn't introduce myself. My name is Thaddeus Turner. I'm currently in my junior year at Trinity Baptist Bible College. And I came out of a world where they tried to teach me that people just evolved from monkeys, and that morality is subjective, and that Jesus Christ was just another man. And I was away at school on full scholarship, and they paid for everything, but I knew I wasn't in the right place. And I want to tell you, I know that Jesus is not just another man. Jesus is God. Amen. So 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. For I think that God has set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sakes, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. We are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. In labor, working with our own hands, and being reviled, we bless it. Being persecuted, we suffer. Our text verse right here. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Tonight I want to talk to you about being the filth of the world, all right? So friends, I just want to speak plain tonight because I don't have much time. So I want to tell you, in this world, if you really want to be a Christian, you'll never be accepted. In this present world system, you will be reviled, and you will be as a filth of the world. And I want every single person in here, whether wherever you are in your faith, however old you may be, you need to get something settled tonight. You need to get it settled today. And that's, who are you willing to suffer for? I've been in the world. I've seen the world. You've seen the world. You're going to suffer either one of two ways. You're going to suffer for God, or you're going to suffer for the devil. And I want to tell you, friends, I've never seen the righteous beg for bread. And I believe and I know that the Christian life is the best life. Everything that the people in this world claim that they want is found in the honest Christian life. If you want real peace, it's found in the Christian life. You want real joy, it's found in the Christian life. You want real happiness, not just temporal happiness. Real happiness is found in the Christian life. I refuse to sugarcoat the Christian life. To fully separate and consecrate yourself towards God, there's going to be some problems. The devil is going to have a target on your back, and people are going to hate you just for your stance. As a Christian, you ought to be the most kind in the room. You ought to be the most gentle in the room. You ought to be the most patient in the room. You ought to be the most charitable in the room. But the moment you take a stand for Christ, I promise you, there's going to be a target on your back, and people are going to hate you and revile you for it. Cain hated God for his decision in terms of rejecting his sacrifice. So what did he do? He got to the next best thing. He killed his brother. Saul was jealous of King David, that he had the hand of God was on David. And so what did he do? He tried to kill him. And I don't even know if I should say this, but even for me, I was at work the other day, and I had a friend that came to me, and he said, "Hey, man, you're right." I said, "What are you talking about?" He says, "Man, they out here hating on you." I'm saying, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "Man, your name came up at work, and they were just saying all type of things about you, saying, man, I don't know what it is, but I just don't like that guy." And they didn't know that guy that they were talking to was real close with me, so he tried to investigate, and I was like, "Well, what'd he do?" And he was like, "Man, I don't know. It's just something about that guy. I just don't like him." And so I was just thinking, you know, the whole time, and someone like that was in the room, they said, "Well, he doesn't talk to anybody. He just works, you know." And I was just thinking the whole time, I was like, should I get mad? And I was like, no, I'm probably worse than what they think. And if we're being honest with ourselves, any vile thing that someone could say about us, if we knew every thought, everything that's gone through another person's mind, we'll probably think, you know what? There's nothing really good that we could say about them. And when I think about Paul was wrongly accused, nothing worthy of death, but yet they still try to find ways to condemn him. And lastly, we know that our Savior, Jesus, never did anything wrong. He was a perfect man, never said anything wrong. He sent in a hand of help to everybody, yet they spit in the face of my Savior. They stripped him naked. they said, crucify him. He did nothing wrong. Turn to John chapter 15 quickly. I don't have much time, but I want to get through this here. John chapter 15, verse 22. And ye now therefore, John 15, sorry. And if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned. But now they have no cloak for this sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. And if I not done among them that works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without the cause. They hate Christ and they hate you, number one, because you're a reminder of God's stance on sin. And this is the condemnation that light is coming to the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. You are a constant reminder that God has a clear stance on sin. Not only that, you are a testimony that, you know what, not everybody's doing it. I love the phrase, what's common is not normal. You may see a lot of things today. You may see everybody shacking up. You may see everybody doing these horrible, vile acts and may think that that's normal. But you live in a Christian life. You are a constant reminder that not everyone's doing this. So rather than receive the truth, there's two types of people. You have an honest skeptic and you have a dishonest skeptic, okay? And I advise everyone to be an honest skeptic. Ask questions, okay? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Real faith has evidence. And I want to tell you, there's faith that is not blind when you put your faith in the Word of God. But rather than receive the truth, they harden their heart and they direct their efforts of hate towards you. Even though that they're lost without hope, lost without God, they refuse to embrace the truth. And let me say this. Even though that we are counted as the filth of this world, we ought to be treated as precious objects in the church of God. Amen. Love the soul winners in the church. Love and nurture the young people in the church. We are the family of God. We have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. Love your pastor. Not only is your pastor dwelling his own burdens, he's dwelling the burdens of every one of you. So pray for your pastor. Love your pastor. We may be the filth in the world, but here in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the pillar and ground of truth, we ought to love one another. Amen. And so lastly, in this world where we're going to have to endure, turn to Revelation 21. If this was my promise, it would mean absolutely nothing. But bless God, it's in the book. Revelation chapter 21. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for the words are true and faithful. So friends, in relation to being the filth of the world, all I'll say is just embrace it. Because we have so much things, so much better, a better future to look to, every last one of us. And so I'm just going to say this. I'm sorry I kind of wanted to speed through this whole thing. I never know who I'm talking to. And in churches and all amongst the world, you have two types of people, really. You have phenomenal actors and you have the real thing. And I want to tell you, in terms of living the Christian life, you are going to be filled with nothing but heartache and sorrow if you're just faking it. You can't live the Christian life in the flesh, my friend. And so the real thing is, have you truly been born again? You may fool everybody, but I want you to know, you can't fool God. And that peace and that joy that I was talking about, you will never receive it. You will never taste it just playing church, just playing Christian. You have to come to Christ yourself, individually, and know that everything that was suffered by Christ on that cross was for you, friends. And so, bless God, and thank you, Brother Combs.